Good morning, everyone. It's my prayer that the Spirit of God finds you happy, blessed, and open-hearted, that the will of God may come upon you and show you His ways and His will and grow you. Thank God for the day, and thank God you're here to hear the word. And I want to take this moment and say you are welcome in this space that we call worship. Amen. Come on in. Now, does anyone have a praise report this morning? Something happened in your life, and you know that it had to be God to bring it off, and you want to share it with the group that we may shout right along with you. Amen and amen and amen. Well, if there's no praise reports, we will continue on in our service. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. I pray that each and every one of them, Father, bring their hearts with them today, and that they open themselves up to hear the word and to change when they hear the truth. That God bless them in their walk and in their talk and in everything that they do. We thank you for it. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray today. Amen and amen. Okay. Our lesson today, and what I got to tell you about this lesson is that I would be not doing all I could do for you if I allowed this moment to pass and not take what I see and give it to you, because this is a teachable moment. Amen. So what I saw after I finished teaching Revelations 12, the last lesson we had, I saw something. God began to show me some things that happens right now in our lives. So let me give you the title of the lesson. It is, Can I Turn Back Time? In other words, can I go back in the past and fix it? Can I make a different decision today? We've all asked this question at some point in time in our lives.
Okay, because you didn't.
Okay.
It's a video, right?
Yes, darling. Okay. Let me say that someone just passed me a note that they have a praise report. So I have to yield the floor just for a moment and allow them to, you know, speak their heart. And this is important, because these praise reports let us know that God is on the scene. Some of us don't automatically know it. We have to hear it. We have to hear things that are happening, you know, signs and wonders we look for. So with that said, Sister Carter, you had a praise report this morning?
I do.
Okay.
Yes. Recently, Elder and I were able to take a little road trip. And I don't really like driving at nighttime. Now, I told this at Bible study, but I wanted to tell it again for Sunday service, because I think it's important for people who are going through different challenges and dealing with fear. So normally, I don't drive at night. So there was time where I had to drive in order for me to get some rest. And it was at nighttime. So every time, you know, I asked about driving, I wanted to do it during the day. So it came about late in the evening, so we switched, and it was my turn to drive. And as it got darker, I kind of felt a little bit more comprehensive about driving. And so while I was driving, I just kept feeling like there was just a fear of driving in the dark. And the whole time we had the praise music on. And one thing I want to say about listening to praise and worship music is that it's really important, because when you're worshiping and you're singing and you're praising God, you actually are changing the atmosphere. And so,
Sister Carter, talk. That's great.
The Word of God says that He is there in your praises. God is in the midst of your praises. So what helped me was the music. We just put on some gospel praise and worship music, kept singing the song, we kept driving along. And at one point in the on the road, it was very, very dark. And it was like I was just going into this black tunnel, and it was encasing me, and I couldn't see anything. So I kept praying and said, Lord, you gotta help me through this. Because that was one of the fear that came up upon me, was going through that darkness. And so He said, okay, look this car, you follow this car, I'm gonna put this car in front of you, you follow Him. And so I followed this car down the road and kept looking at Him. He just said, keep your eyes on the road, keep your eyes on the car, keep your eyes on the road, keep your eyes on the car. It's just like the Holy Spirit was my driving instructor. He just said, keep following this car. And I know that I was also using what Elder had taught me as far as the rules of the road and driving at night time. So all of this I was using as well. But he was just sitting there talking to me and walking me through the whole thing. So as I kept going, this car actually began to be a crutch, because I didn't want to go past him. And every time he sped up, I would try to speed up with him. He slowed down, I slowed down, and I would not pass him up. And so the Spirit said, well, now it's your turn. He said, He took you through the darkness. Now I'm going to bring you into the light. So He said, you pass him up. He said, you can do this. You pass him up, and you keep going, because you can do this. You have the strength to do this, to keep going. And so when I passed them, there still wasn't any cars in front of me, and it was still a dark road. But this time, when I passed them, I felt the fear actually lift up and leave, that I wasn't afraid anymore. I had more strength and more courage to keep driving through the darkness. And He said, just keep going, because you got it now. And so I could just feel Him strengthen me and give me the ability and the courage to keep driving. And so after we got to wherever the next destination was, and we switched again, and I told Elder what happened, he was really excited for me. And I said, well, I got it down, because me and the Holy Spirit were driving, and I got it. I can drive at night now without any fear. So I wanted to bring that up, because one thing I wanted to note was the fact that when you praise God, He is with you in the midst of your praises. And second, that you have to overcome fear. You have to overcome it head on and just address it. But when you address it, you have to do it with the Holy Spirit. And that's the only thing that's going to get you through it, is your faith in God, your strength through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So that's my testimony.
Amen. We'd like to give a praise report as well, just to piggyback off of that, because we recently went on a road trip, family vacation as well. We went in the RV. So this was our first time driving an RV. We had four out of five of our kids with us, and our grandbaby. And it was just, you know, initially it was nerve wracking. I started the trip off driving it, and you know, this is a huge 32 foot RV that we just got behind the wheel, like, oh, okay, this is normal. But it's a totally, totally different drive. You know, you're driving this big vehicle. It's full of gas. It's full of potable water. And so it makes the vehicle a lot heavier. And, you know, plus all your precious cargo is in there with you. So you're driving, and I know my blood pressure was up, but like, Mama said, we were listening to gospel music, you know, all the way there. All the kids was asleep. Mr. Carter was trying to stay up, but he was dozing off too. So, you know, I was just praying to God as well. And I'm really glad we left at like 3 or 4 in the morning, to where it gave me a chance to get comfortable with the RV before the rest of the world woke up and got, you know, on the road. So by the time the sun came up, you know, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, you know, I had been driving 3 or 4 hours already, and I was, you know, more comfortable once, you know, others got on the highway. But, you know, we made it to Florida. We had a great time, and the drive back was a breeze. And so we just, you know, thank God that we were able to have that experience with our kids and make it there and back safely.
What a wonderful testimony.
Amen.
There are many things that we go through in this life, and you know, sometimes we're not ready for it. We don't know everything that we have to do, you know, to be proficient at what we're doing. And there are times where others are depending upon us. So yeah, sometimes we use security blankets, like Sister Carter talked about following the other driver. Well, he was her security blanket. And also the music, the gospel music, was both of their security blanket at that time, because when you praise God, God comes on the scene. Okay, and then you, if you listening, he will calm you down and walk you through it. So we are so thankful for those two praise reports. God be with you, and God bless each of you that had the courage to come forth and talk about some things that you have been challenged with. A lot of people don't, they want to put this image out there that we're perfect, and you know, we don't make mistakes, so we don't have no insecurities. But we all have them. Just know it. We all have them.
Amen.
So anyway, all right. The title of our lesson today is, Can I Turn Back Time? How many have said that? Can I go back and fix it? I messed up. And this is something that resonates with all of us. Amen. So we've all asked this question at some point in time in our lives. Can I go back and turn the time back and change or make a different decision? Can I go back and fix it, Lord? Well, we all make these mistakes. And some of us want to go back and know that we cause somebody some hurt and pain. We want to go back and undo that. Or there are times where we want to take a different pathway. You know, I could have done that different. Because whether we know it or not, there's a battle that's began long before we got here, and it's still going. I wanted to bring this out because it was a very teachable moment. The Holy Spirit began to witness to me on different things that I need to teach on this next lesson, because we're not going to just move on through Revelations without bringing revelation knowledge on the scene. And this one today is about mistakes you made, things that you've done, you know, things that keep you from moving forward. But it's also about the workings of God, the system of God. And we need to know how it works and let it benefit us fully and wholly. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. We've been on here a few weeks, but this is not going to be so much about revelations as it will be about our own mistakes. Amen. Revelation 12 and 1 says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads." And we go down to verse 5, and it says, now stay with me on this. "And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne." So what we see here, that Satan is trying to stop the child from being born. Now, the reason why is if he stop it here in heaven and in the spiritual realm, then it will not happen upon the earth. So he's trying to change things before it even gets here to us. Let's go to Matthew, the 2nd chapter. And this is what it says in verse 1. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. On the earth, an angel warned Joseph about King Herod, seeking to destroy the child. So in the morning, he arose and took the young child and his mother to Egypt." Now, when we pray to God in the spiritual realm, our prayers manifest on the earth, or what we say in the natural. But we got to remember, our prayers are important, and we need to see them as important. You know, sometimes they're inspired by God, other times they're inspired by the things that we may be going through at that moment, our walk. Amen. So we got to be careful and allow those things to take place. So if he killed the child in heaven, he would not have had to deal with him on the earth. Now, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Now, does the spirit of Satan try to stop your prayers from manifesting and, you know, becoming alive on the earth? Yes, he does. So what happened that's what was happening in Matthew, the 2nd chapter. But let's go back to the 2nd chapter and go to verse 16 of Matthew. It says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So he got really upset when the wise men did not come back and report to him where the child was being born. So what he did was he went and killed all the little children from 2 years and younger, trying to kill the child so that the king of the Jews would not come. But remember, he was created by God, so are we, and so was Satan. So he could not kill the child because the child was caught up to the throne of God. He missed it in heaven, he missed it on the earth. But now, if we go back to Revelations 12 and verse 7, I got something else I wanted to show you. And this is what it says. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Okay, do you understand what they're saying? They're saying that Satan and his angels fought against Michael. Michael is the angel that does war for heaven. Okay, they fought. Satan lost. And then what did they say? Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. So what? He got kicked out of heaven. So for those of you thinking that Revelations is a long ways off and it's not going to start till I'm dead and gone, well, guess what? Back when Jesus was born, he got kicked out of heaven long ago. So now keep your eyes open. Now, verse 12 says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. And this word here is so important because we talked about it. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So he's really upset because he got kicked out of heaven, number one. And then he also knows that he has allotted time to be here on the earth before God comes in, and he's gonna go end up going to prison. Okay? The war before the womb. Now the enemy fought you before you were even born. Some of you have been asking, why is my life so hard? Why does it feel like I've been under attack since day one? Because the enemy sees your purpose that you are carrying on the inside. Satan wasn't just after Jesus, he's been after the seed of the woman since God told him in the beginning that the seed of the woman would crush his head and he would bruise his heel. But you got to know that his head has been crushed so many times. But one of the main times that his head was crushed was through Jesus. Now, we crush his head too, but not like Jesus did. Amen. We crush his head when we stand in faith and do what God has told us to do, and he can't stop it. Amen. Now, here's what it says. Satan has been after every destiny, every calling, every child that has purpose since the beginning. Some of you were nearly aborted. Some of you grew up in a house full of trauma and pain. You think these things that are happening to you happen by accident, or they are just random events that are happening. No, indeed. The war to hinder your life started long before you were even born or that you knew about it. Some of you still don't understand what the battle is all about. You see, Satan talks to people. He speaks in their ear. He's a spirit. Although he's been thrown to the earth, you cannot see him. So he is a spirit. So what happens is he talked to people. He sent people by your way to tell you, oh, you're pregnant. Go have an abortion, girl. You don't want to end your life, or you don't want to have children right now. You're too young. You still got a lot to learn. Or they come up with all these other reasons why you should have an abortion. But if you go out and do these things sexually, then you need to have the responsibility on your mind that if I do get pregnant, with or without him, I'm going to take care of this child. And a lot of you already have that in your system. But for those who may think of abortions, because this country does more abortions than any country ever, what the battle is about, some of you are only thinking about what you're going to have for lunch. What am I going to eat for dinner? You're not thinking about the battle that you go through, what's going on in your life. It says that because many of you do not know or understand what's going on or what's happening, or what your purpose is, or why you are here. What happens when you pray? When you pray for something on the earth that may be bothering you, something you may need, you may be praying for somebody else, you may be praying just for your own sanity. If you look at this event that was happening in heaven, Satan was trying to stop the child from being born because he knew if the child was stopped in heaven, it would not happen on the earth, right? So that is what happens on the earth. If he stops your prayers, does it come right away when you pray? No. When we pray, do we get it right away? Do we get our answers right away? Well, let me put it this way. Now, if you really need God and you need him right away, God knows his children and he knows what they need and he will come to their aid and help them. But Satan wants to stop your prayers. He wants to stop your faith. He wants to, you know, short circuit your faith. Let's see. However, there are times that God has to act right away upon your prayers and in your life. Okay? What happens when we pray for something on the earth? When we pray, the war shifts. So now you're praying. You're asking God to move for you. But what happens? You pray for peace, and Satan definitely makes things go worse. You pray for healing, and the pain intensifies. You pray for direction, and more confusion comes on the scene. Why? I'm glad that you asked. Because when you pray on the earth, a war breaks out on the spiritual realm. Satan and his crew attack you. They used to attack you in heaven, but they've been kicked out of heaven. Now they attack you on the earth. They attack you differently than they attacked in the Old Testament. They were attacking a man. They would say, send a man her way with money. That's what they'd be looking for, the woman, okay? Send her on a shopping spree. Women love to shop. Or fake her out and make her feel like all her troubles are gone away. And she put her guards down and forget about all the prayers that she's prayed and the tears that she gave. And she forget about them because she think everything is worked out. But it's not. Now for the man, they said, send him a woman, a beautiful woman, or make it so he can get him a nice BMW or a Benzo, okay? And send money and people around him to make him feel big time that he's it, all right? So he can stop praying and stop waiting on those prayers to come forth. Anything to disengage him from his prayers. This is what Satan says. Break them down. Break their faith. Because if their prayers come through just like they prayed them, there will be trouble in paradise if we let those prayers come through just like he prayed them. Because if we let them come through just like he prayed them, he may learn that he has real power. Amen. Now, can I turn back time and remember, you know, when I didn't keep my faith? Right here is where most people began to accept compromise. Because when you haven't kept your faith in the past, you let it define you in the future. So because it doesn't happen right away, a lot of times things we pray for, God comes to you at the right time. And so, you know, because the system of God does not operate like the way man thinks it should operate, man begins to lose their faith and take on compromise. Compromise their faith of what they're praying for. And this is what I heard some of them say. Well, if you can't just do this for me, Lord, I can make it. You ain't got to do the whole thing. Just do this. So now you're compromising your own faith and your own prayers. But Isaiah 55 and 11 says to you, believer, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Means it won't come back empty. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So if you'll be patient, your prayers, if you wait on the system of God, stand in faith, march, let your soldiers stand up, you'll see God's will come back. Now, let me say this to you as a disclaimer. God may not wipe it all out in one wave. He may send the answer as you need the answer. He's going to do it God's way. But you have to wait upon the Lord and let him guide your path. See, if you go to James chapter 1, this is what it says. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and it shall be given him. And when you say him, they're talking about species man, man, woman. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. That means you're unstable. You're going back and forth, back and forth. Now, the key meaning here is patience is a virtue. The verse encourages believers to embrace trials and tribulations and don't fight them, because they develop patience. And that's something a lot of us do not use. We let anxiety come on the scene and push us. We let others come and talk to us and tell us, oh man, you better help them take care of this. Okay? And then you begin to fight on the inside. And then you waver on your commitment to your prayers and your faith. Now, the completion of growth. The perfect work refers to the idea that patience leads to spiritual completeness and maturity, spiritual maturity, making individuals more resilient and whole. That means you can be patient and wait no matter how much pressure the outside world is giving you. You know that when God comes, that's the right time. So you're not rushing, you're not pushing, you're not getting on your knees asking, Lord, when you coming? Lord, why haven't you shown up by now? Well, I may go by here and talk to somebody and see what they said. They gave me an idea. Maybe I'll go do that. Wrong. Now, the context here is this verse is part of a passage that discusses the value of facing trials with joy as they produce persistence, endurance, and determination. That's what we learn when we go through trials. But if you panic, if you start fighting these trials, because, you know, you can't fight the enemy because you're fighting something that you cannot see. So you don't even know what type of weapon to pull up, and you don't know whether to hit him with a hook or a right cross or uppercut. You don't know none of that. But when you pray, heaven goes to work. It begins to battle for you in ways you can't even see. Just like they war and kicked him out of heaven for trying to kill the child in heaven, he's down here on the earth. Because the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And if you are one of the sheep of his pasture, you know that you don't need to do but wait on your Father to come and take care of you. Amen. Now, the practical application here is, it suggests that enduring hardships can lead to a stronger character and deeper faith. And we all need deeper faith. Overall, the message is about formative power of patience and achieving spiritual maturity. Not like some of the children. You know how children react. They ask you for something and they get mad because you didn't do it in 5 minutes. Daddy, can I have some ice cream? Or mama, can I have this? Or mama, can I have that? And what happens? You don't do it right away. You got some other duties you need to take care of before you get there, but you're going to get it for them. And they cannot wait. They have no patience. Well, that's what we do when we don't have spiritual maturity. We keep asking Daddy for the ice cream. Now, James 1 and 7 says, "For let not that man think it that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." So, Lord, can I turn back time? No. But you can take authority on the present or in the present. You can't undo the past, but you can stop letting it define you in the future. You know, I messed up then, and you're thinking you're going to mess up now, or you don't want to lose your faith, or you don't want to walk away from it. Okay, you don't want to just give up on God because you did long ago. So now you want to turn back time and do it different. Here's the truth. God protected the child. Her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Revelations 12 and 5. God will protect you and your purpose also, as long as you know what your purpose is. And sometimes he protects us even if we don't. He loves us. We're his children. We're innocent little lambs, but we're a little bit naive. We don't know why we're here. We don't know how to fight. We don't know what to do. But God does. And if we're praying, if we're in agreement with the Holy Spirit, if we're inviting the Holy Spirit on our insides, listening to wisdom and his revealed knowledge, we're listening to the mind of God in Jesus' mighty name. That's right. Because what the Father knows, he gave it to the Son, and then the Son gives it to the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, and he gives it to us liberally. That's what the Bible says. The final challenge is to step into the fight. You want to turn back time? But maybe God is calling you to redeem the time you're in right now. Redeeming the time because the days are evil right now. I'm sorry, 5 and 16 is what he's talking about, redeeming the time because the days are evil. But we go into time is a gift, not a guarantee. Stop looking backwards in regret and start moving forward in authority. If Satan is fighting you and your future, don't just sit there and complain. Do something. Pray, fasting, worship. Why? Because when you pray, heaven moves. When you fast, you're giving up something for God's attention. And when you worship, you bring God on the scene right then. His power. That's what Sister Carter was talking about when she says she was scared or afraid to drive at night. That as she did praise and worship, and God began to come into the room and give her wisdom and insight. Same thing with Sister Mika. Praise and worship brought him on the scene. She'd never driven anything that big. But the will of God came on the scene and gave her strength and the power to carry out that moment. Amen. In the natural. Thank you, Father. We are not by ourselves. But you got to do battle with the word because you can't see Satan. He's a spirit. So you got to include God. You can't turn around and try to fight him yourself. You got to bring in the word and let God and patience have her perfect word. Amen. So what I want to tell you today is stay focused, stay grounded, stay rooted in the word. Don't turn around and feel sad about the past because you made mistakes. That is something that we all do. The Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God, but you cannot let that define you. You must stand up and be who you are today. And one of the major things that we need to do is to forgive ourselves. We can forgive anybody around that asks us for forgiveness. But what about when you need to forgive yourself and move forward? Yes, you might have done something in the past and somebody else got hurt. You may have made some wrong decision and your life did not come out like it was because you didn't stand in faith. You left, and when you left, you look back, God had already come on the scene. And you felt bad because you didn't wait. But you cannot go back and change any of that. You take that, you give it to God in prayer and thank him for taking care of you and move yourself back into the future. To the things that are hitting you every day, because as I read earlier, the day is evil and midnight is approaching. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, thank you that even when I don't see it, you are fighting for me. And thank you for righteousness. Even when I feel delayed, I am not denied, for you're always with us in spirit and in truth. Help me to trust the war that I don't see and to walk boldly in the purpose that you placed inside of me. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing. We glory to your name, Lord, for thy name is great. And great is thy faithfulness. And we thank you for all that you set in place for your children in heaven and in the earth. And in Jesus' mighty name, we pray today. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for this message. I pray that this message was a blessing to you all and that you heard his voice while we were, you know, disclosing and unpackaging this message. That he was walking up and down through the rows and the aisles, touching hearts, blessing our minds, helping us to see through our imaginations the will of God. We thank you for all things in heaven and in the earth. I hope you all have a great week, and may God bless and keep all of you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This joy that I have, it, give it, the world can't take it away, take it away.